Hey, welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered. Today, we're talking about Power BI for the BI professional and the data engineer. First, let me just introduce myself. I am Priya Sathi. I am a group product manager on the Power BI team. And with me, I have here Christian Wade, who is also principal program manager on the Power BI team. We're both super excited to be here, and I really want to answer your questions. So start submitting your questions, and we're ready to take them and answer them today. I just want to start off, Christian. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, as we're waiting for these questions, let's talk a little bit about the big announcements that we made at Build last week. So one of the big announcements we made, which I think is really relevant to BI professionals and data engineers, was really this new capability that's coming out next month called automatic aggregations. So Christian, why don't you take us away and tell the audience a little bit about automatic aggregations and what they can expect and when they can expect it?
Yeah, absolutely, Priya. Thank you. And hello, everybody. We're very happy to be here, as Priya said. So yeah, automatic aggregations, I mean, it's really a remarkable feature. It's really gonna change the options available to unlock these massive, potentially multi-petabyte scale data sets for interactive and analysis in a way that's otherwise physically impossible, you know, because if you think about aggregations, it's a really smart and really simple piece of technology. You know, most business intelligence queries are aggregated in nature. It stands to reason you'll get a really high bang for the buck in terms of boosting query performance if you cache data at the aggregated level. It's very economical, very efficient. You know, it's really going to redefine the playing field in terms of scalability over these massive data sets in a really economical way. Now, of course, we've had aggregations available till now, but they were a little bit advanced. So the point about automatic aggregations is they are automatic. We will create them automatically. We will analyze the historical query logs for you, and we will define the aggregations for you. We will redefine the aggregations for you if the usage patterns change. You know, so it's you just flick a switch. It's a self-learning, self-optimizing, AI-driven system that will automatically unlock these massive data sets. And yeah, we're super excited about it. We think it's got massive potential, and we can't wait to get it in your hands.
I know. So I'm really excited about this, Christian. What can people expect? I know we've talked about this at Build. We did this demo. And what can people expect in terms of timing? When, you know, when people can expect to get this in their hands and start playing with it?
Yeah, so yeah, we are also very excited that there's already a private preview going on. If you're keen, and you know, we've already got it's already quite busy. You know, we're probably about pretty much at capacity for the private preview. We're getting some really promising results, and we're planning on shipping this publicly in July. So yeah, we will of course blog about it. We will do our standard. You know, announcements and through our standard communication feeds, and then you guys will be happy to let you guys use it when we announce in July. But yeah.
Yeah, July is not that far away. We're talking, you know, about a month or so. And what I do personally love about this feature is that, you know, it makes it so easy for you guys to really build your reports and data sets on massive volumes of data, right? We're not talking, you know, a million rows of data, right? We're actually in this private preview that Christian's talking about, we're talking about billions of rows of data, customers that are actually able to connect to the data warehouse, such as Azure Synapse Analytics, in a direct query mode and have these reports and performance of these reports in just a few seconds, rendering in just a few seconds. So I'm really excited as well, Christian. And so actually, we have a question here from the audience about where can I find the details of what were the announcements at Build? And then that's a really great question. So All of these announcements, so there is a couple of sessions that I'll call out here that if you haven't had the opportunity to watch, that you guys should definitely go watch. One is, you know, there was a keynote session and that was done by Arun and Amir, and, you know, it was all about the PAR platform and PAR BI, and there's a lot of announcements we made over there. So definitely watch that session. It's available on demand now. And then the second session was a session that I did, which was called PAR BI for the BI professional and data engineer. It's an on demand session, so it's also available. You can go watch it anytime you want to, and you should get all of the top announcements that would affect you as the data engineer or the BI professional that's using PAR BI. And then there was actually a third session as well that I would say, you know, if you're an ISV or you're building applications or, you know, and you're really interested in embedding PAR BI and all of the capabilities we're talking about here, then watch that PAR BI embedded session as well. And this is also an on-demand session, so definitely watch those sessions. Now, in terms of announcements, Christian, I know we made another really big announcement on streaming data flows. What can you tell the folks here about streaming data flows?
Yeah, so streaming data flows is just a great example of how, you know, we as Power BI, we're very, very fortunate, right? Because, you know, we're built on Azure, the world's leading cloud. And so we have the opportunity to have this tight, seamless integration with these enterprise class Azure services, like Azure Stream Analytics, like Azure Synapse, like Azure Purview, you know, Azure Active Directory for single sign-on. The list goes on and on, right? And so in this particular case, streaming data flows is built on Azure Stream Analytics, and it harnesses the power of these enterprise class Azure services and makes them accessible, makes them really easy for the business user to harness, right? Because the business user typically doesn't log into the Azure portal, right? But however, the business user is super comfortable in Power BI. That's what Power BI is. It's a low-code, no-code experience that really empowers the business users to be super productive. So the business user is super comfortable in Power BI, and they can create a streaming data flow just with a visual guided experience, you know, with nice and simple, with guardrails, and just in minutes get up and running and unlock these streaming data sets, because there's streaming data all over the place now, right? You know, we're living in this crazy world now where everything, there's like probably five things around me right now that are streaming data as I speak, right? So there's streaming data all over the place. And now the business user can access that data very easily and create a streaming data flow, create some kind of simple ETL operations like joins and filters and merges and things like that, and then go ahead and visualize that in a report in minutes and see the data streaming in real time on the Power BI report and using tools that the business user is very comfortable with. So yeah, this is a great example of how we're taking the power of Azure. And because ultimately, technically, Power BI is built on Azure, right? So, you know, we're right in Azure. It's super straightforward for us to leverage these Azure services and empower the business users to use them. So, yeah, another great example.
Yeah, that's really exciting, because now you can not only build your reports on batch data, which you've probably been doing for years now with us, but you can also include streaming data. Like Christian said, I don't know where, you know, you don't have streaming data anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to build your analytics, build your reports with both that batch data and that streaming data, being able to then get real-time analytics, I think is super powerful. And I'm really excited about this as well. Yeah. Now, one other question I was thinking about, Christian, is are these features, I mean, this comes up all the time, and you know, users, customers ask me this all the time. Are these features all available in premium and pro? I mean, how do people get a hand of this?
Yeah, so good question, Priya. So we do put some of the premium features in premium, you know, because they are really the high-end features that are going to maximize scalability, maximize, you know, the broad consumption across the largest organizations. And it's actually more cost effective from the customer standpoint to go ahead and go with premium, because when you have thousands of users, you don't need to purchase pro licenses for every single user if you're going with the premium per capacity model. And also for the small to medium size implementations, we recently launched the premium per user model as well. So yes, the majority of these features are going to premium, but we have licensing models that should work for a broad range of sizes of deployments for customers.
Yep, absolutely. And I think thing I want to add is that a lot of these premium features, if you guys aren't aware of, we actually made it available in a per user licensing model. Premium per user has been generally available and retail price of $20 per user per month, or you can add on to your E5 purchase as well at an additional $10 per user per month. And the cool thing about this, that per user per month, you get the power of premium that Christian talked about. And you get to all these features, not just the ones that we're talking about today, which is we talked about automatic aggregations, we talked about streaming data flows, but also all of the features that are premium only features. So all of our AI features like cognitive services and automated machine learning, right? No code machine learning. You also have paginated reports if you want to build those pixel perfect operational reports. Think about invoices, orders that you want to just send to thousands, maybe even millions of users. These are capabilities that are in premium, which have been completely unlocked by premium per user. And if you don't want to start off by paying for premium per user, no worries. Start off with just a trial. We give you a trial and you can try these features out for a few months and then go ahead and purchase it. And so one of the things, Christian, the question that came up is, can you tell us when these new announcements will be GA? I think if you want to try answering that for both features and give people the general principle of how we go about GAing these features.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to, Priya. It really depends on the customer feedback. You know, we put these features out there, and we sometimes there are a couple of things that we intend to get done before it hits general availability, and sometimes we have an idea that changes based on the customer feedback. That's really the purpose of the public preview. But generally, we try to get features to GA within 6 months. It doesn't always happen. There have been cases where we've gone over 6 months, but as a rough rule of thumb, somewhere around 6 months, but it's difficult to pinpoint an exact time because, as I say, it really depends. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of customers use the features in public preview in their production environments. They're fully supported. You know, we have the CSS team is fully aware. Every public preview feature, like automatic aggregations, like streaming data flows, we will have dedicated sessions with the support people, so they're completely up to speed. And so these are fully supported features, and you can use them in your production environments if you want. But obviously, once it hits general availability, then the confidence level increases. And we try to get it done in about 6 months, but it really depends.
Yeah. Building on that as well, Christian, I think I love to have you guys play with these features, right? Get your feedback. And the more feedback we get, the more we can incorporate into these features and we can get them out generally available. Now, there's another interesting question, just going back to the topic of streaming data flows. So we got another interesting question. Would we or could we use streaming data flows with custom stream sources? Do you want to talk about that, Christian, a little bit more about the architecture and, you know, basically how they can use it with custom stream sources?
So I believe there will be the standard ones that you get with Azure out of the box, and I would have to confirm the plans with regard to where we're going to go beyond there. But I believe there is a capability there. I would have to redirect to the PM for that to give you a precise answer, and I'm sure that's going to all be covered in the announcement. So you know, it's going to cover the standard Azure ones. I believe it's like Event Hub, etc. And I believe they can have custom backends, but I'm not an expert in this field. But I'm sure it will be covered in the blog announcement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the blog announcement is already out, right, Christian?
I just pasted a link to Arun's blog post that covers the announcement. You're absolutely right. And I'm sure there'll be some supporting documentation with the details available.
Yeah, absolutely. We are all about making sure we document everything. And so I think there's another really good question here. I'm sure, Christian, you hear this all the time too. How can I submit feedback on a feature?
Yes. So there are many channels here, Caitlin. So one is obviously ideas.powerbi.com. We, as the program management team, look at that list, as part of our, pretty much daily activity. We take a lot of pride in delivering the features that are at the top of the list. I've had the privilege of delivering some features that were within the top five. I've delivered top five features before, and I've actually put a screenshot of the number of votes in the announcement blog post, because it really is a big deal for us. So the primary area there is ideas.powerbi.com, but there are of course other channels as well. We have programs for like Enterprise Voice for customers and other programs, but primarily ideas.powerbi.com.
Yep. And I think if you are a enterprise customer, or if you have support as well from Microsoft, you can absolutely use those channels as well, right? You can submit feedback through our support engineering teams. That feedback gets back to us, to the program management team. We look at that on a frequent basis, make sure that that's incorporated into our planning for upcoming months. We really give a lot of importance to the ideas that you guys submit, because that is how Power BI has really grown, with your ideas. If you're also an enterprise customer, you probably have access to our Enterprise Voice channel, and that's another way as well of working with our customer advisory team and getting your feedback over to our customer advisory team, which always ends up reaching us as the program management team. So hopefully, we'll see a lot of the feedback, and ideas.powerbi.com is the easiest way. Go, put in a new idea, or you can also upvote your existing ideas. There's tons of ideas that have been upvoted as well. So this is a really good set of questions here. Christian, what else can you tell folks here about the announcements at Build? Are there any other key announcements that will help BI developers?
Let's see. So we covered some announcements at the Microsoft Business Application Summit. I don't know if we should talk about those, like the hybrid tables feature.
We absolutely go ahead, and then I'll queue up another question, which I think is a great question.
Sure. Absolutely. So hybrid tables is something that's, we did a peek into the future session. So it's something that should land in this calendar year. It's a little bit further out than automatic aggregations. But the deal is we have large models in Power BI, which is generally available, which allows you to cache massive amounts of data into memory. Automatic aggregations, you don't even need to cache all the data into memory. That's why you can have multi-petabyte scale data sets, because aggregations is a very small cache at the aggregated level. But in some cases, you choose to cache all the data into memory, and for that we have large models, and that's going to cover you for any kind of random ad hoc analysis. But the problem traditionally with large models is that you need to refresh the data when it changes in the data warehouse. And so with hybrid tables, we will automatically reflect the changes from the data warehouse in the report, because it will be a hybrid table. It will be both import and direct query. So there'll be a little partition, a little slice of direct query, so that you can get the most recent data shown in real time on the report. And so this will, give you, really blazing fast performance from top to bottom with real time, without having to refresh the data during the course of the day. You do have to cache the data into memory, unlike automatic aggregations, where it's only a small cache comparatively. But if you go down that road, like we have lots of customers using large models, we have up to 400 gigabytes of size in the largest SKUs, which is many tens of terabytes of uncompressed data with billions and billions of rows. So if you do go down that road and you then have the requirement to refresh the data as it changes, then this is a really good solution for you. So we have all the bases covered, right? Depending on which way makes sense for your business requirements.
Right. And the cool thing here, Christian, is just the amount of emphasis, we're putting here in Power BI on making sure that your reports are highly, highly performant mm-hmm. on big data. Again, we're mm-hmm. talking terabytes of data, right? We're not talking mm-hmm. the smaller bits of data. Yeah. I have a question that also came up here, Christian, if you want to take this one. If the refresh allows, when would you advocate models with just one all-encompassing table or query? Or would you always be looking to normalize the data and build relationships between queries? What's your experience and customer feedback on this? What do other customers do?
Yeah, so the kind of traditional model that customers use for Power BI historically, and in some cases you'll get the best performance, is like a star schema, where you have the fact table and then you have the key dimension tables in separate tables, and you have relationships. So you'd have like maybe one big fact table and maybe four or five dimension tables like customer, date, and product, etc., as separate tables. However, we have our data modeling experience is very flexible, right? We understand that not every data source is going to be modeled like that. For example, some of these like Hadoop-based big data sources, some of these data lake type data sources, some of the are file-based, where you have all of the dimension columns are in the fact table. We support those as well, right? So it's not like you have to use a particular modeling design. We support and lots of these big data sources actually work quite well in those scenarios, like Spark, for example, so that you don't need to do lots of joins at runtime in direct query mode. There are some cases where the non-star schema model makes a lot of sense, and we absolutely support those. And we designed aggregations, which is the foundation of automatic aggregations, in a way that works for all of these different types of data models, whether they be star schemas or the very denormalized models as well. So yeah, we certainly support them.
Yeah, that's great, Christian. Now, I think there's one other feature I do want us to talk about a little bit. I think that might be relevant to this this audience of folks here. Folks that use paginated reports in Power BI or, have used reporting services, SQL Server reporting services, and then moved on to using paginated reports. There's an exciting feature that we announced called the paginated reports visual. And this is shipping in this month's Power BI desktop release, which should be coming out shortly in the next couple of weeks. Christian, do you want to talk a little bit about the paginated reports visual?
Yeah, paginated reports visual. I mean, it's a super simple concept, right? I think everyone knows paginated reports, right? Your pixel perfect reports that can go for many pages, paginated reports. And, you know, we've had them for a long, long time. There's so many on-premises SQL Server reporting services implementations. I mean, they're literally one of the workhorses of industry. There's just so many of them. So everyone's familiar with these paginated reports, but then the paginated report visual takes the paginated report and embeds it right there in the Power BI interactive report so that you get that seamless experience. So, you know, there's so many scenarios that you could use this for if you think about it. Like, you know, if you want a controlled drill through to these massive data sets so that you can, you know, to, again, unlock these really large data sets, and then maybe you want a controlled query to get at the large tables, and there's too much data for it to be shown in a kind of aggregated visual. You have the control to put a paginated report visual right there in the interactive report. The user has all the interactivity, and the aggregated data is prepared. And then if they want to kind of drill through to the detail level, they can do so without even leaving the report. So there's many, many different scenarios for the paginated report visual. Obviously, I just called out one that's in the big data space, since that's what we're talking about. But yeah, the possibilities are endless there. Super, super useful to just have the paginated report right there integrated with the interactive report.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's you know, really bringing these two worlds of, you know, operational reporting and interactive reporting together. And we're really excited about it. I can't wait for it to ship in the desktop release this month. It'll be in public preview. And, you know, have you guys start using it and giving your feedback. So I think those were the big announcements that we made at Build. Were there any other announcements, Christian, that is relevant to this audience?
Let me see here. Not with regard to the big data space specifically. Like, obviously, we announced a bunch of AI powered development, like natural language to DAX generation. Right, yep. So that we can generate DAX based on spoken word, so to speak. Yes. Let's see. We Jupyter notebooks embedded in Power BI. So there's lots of other content. I'm not sure if you can see the blog post that I pasted the link for to Arun's blog, but that's a good summary for you to look through all of the features. Thank you very much. So I think we've got the link right there. So thank you very much. So that's the best concise list of exactly all of the announcements for Build, as well as of course to go to the next level of detail, watch all of the sessions and webcasts that Priya mentioned earlier.
Yep. So that is aka.ms/ate-powerbi-blog. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think we're out of time here, Christian. Thank mm-hmm. you all for joining us today. And check out the link below to watch this and more episodes on demand and find out what episodes are coming up soon as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. See you next time.